Hello, this is Dane Emerald. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 681. I'm headed home. Head home a little early. It's only 1:50, so I get home about 2:50 or 3. Spend a few minutes at home and then go right back to work. Because, well, I haven't put in all my time yet. So, anyway. I guess I'm going to call this episode, How Can You Know the Truth? I guess. And I don't think I'm going to give any real definitive, clear answers anyway about anything. But that's just, but that's the whole point. You can't give a clear, definitive answer because you don't know. Right now, it is August 2008. People are scared to death because now we're having kind of pissing match, pardon me, spinning match, whatever. Bodily fluids are being flung back and forth between the American government and the Russian government. You know, everybody's accusing Russia of being nasty, rotten people. And, you know, because they invaded the country of Georgia, which used to be a Soviet satellite thing. And depending on where you get your information from, you find out what's going on. Now, I don't think I'm taking it from too weird of sources. One of them is Patrick Buchanan. He was once a candidate for President of the United States, Republican conservative, decently respected. I'm not going to say completely respected, but decently respected. And interesting guy for just kind of saying exactly what's on his mind and without being co-opted. I don't think you could ever say that Patrick Buchanan has ever been co-opted. I don't always agree with him, but I do trust that he hasn't been bought and paid for by somebody. Right now, when it comes down to it, what you're getting from most of the news sources and most of the normal channels is pretty much the Western story, which is those evil, nasty Russians. Georgia was minding its own business, and Russia just decided that now is the time to go stomping into their territory and try to take them over again. And so we are threatening them, which is kind of silly because you don't threaten Russia. You know, if you threaten Russia, they'll lob bombs at you. You know, and they have nukes, you know. It was the Soviet Union, you know, the one that we were so afraid of for years and years and years. And probably still should be. And, you know, Russia's got kind of a built-in kind of gripe about ever since the Soviet Union fell, they've been treated like kind of a third world country, and they're going to start telling everybody that they're not a third world country. You know, they're still a force to be reckoned with. Anyway, so all this stuff is coming out. The American media is coming out pretty headstrong against Russia. You know, it's so fun now to have a big, nasty, evil enemy again. You know, for so long it's been kind of terrorists who are kind of like mosquitoes, you know. You can't get rid of them. They keep poking you. They drive you nuts. But now it's so much more fun that we might be getting the Cold War back again, which is so much more comfortable and neat because, you know, you have this horrible enemy that really doesn't do anything to you. You know, he may spy on you. He may do little things that nobody hears about, but make for great copy. You know, oh, the Russians are trying to take us over. There's some huge Russian conspiracy. And it was cool like that. But, you know, the Russians never really did anything to us. They were on the other side of the world, and they stayed there. By and large, you know, there's going to be spies and stuff like that, but that's nothing. That's just little tiddly stuff that kind of keeps our intelligence agents happy and healthy and making good money. Well, Patrick Buchanan and a few others, kind of a somewhat libertarian bent, and Patrick Buchanan is not libertarian, but he does have some interesting insights. they are looking at it from the whole other way. The fact that we have been doing stuff specifically to kind of goad Russia. That this little province, which is inside Georgia but borders on Russia, is actually full of ethnic Russians. And most of the people in that province, and the one next door to it, I forget what it's called now, who cares? It's a little place. It's mostly ethnic Russian. They want to be a part of Russia again. They don't really like being a part of Georgia. They want to become independent. Of course, everybody's going to say, well, they're going to be independent for about 5 minutes until they let Russia just kind of walk in and take over. And you go, well, you know, if that's what the people want, that's what the people want. Now, you know, this brings up the whole freedom fighter idea because, you know, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. And the whole point is, you know, are you going to let these guys have their own self-determination? Now, under some circumstances where it tends to go in the favor of the United States is all for it and will, you know, tweak other countries to say, you guys aren't being very supportive of democracy or liberty or stuff like that, you know, when it goes in their favor. But when it's a place like this that would actually say, we don't want anything to do with Georgia, we don't want to be on the side with the Americans, we would rather side with the Russians, you know, then America starts saying, well, you invaded! They don't want you! Go away! You know, and it's like, well, do you want to have an election? No, we don't want to have an election! We know what those people want! They want to be free! And the only way to be free is to come and be with the West. And you know, well, okay, so there's that. That's kind of the way it's starting to look. That there is a place that's really trying to make sure that if these guys want to go with Russia, Russia wants them. Of course, you know, does it work in Russia's favor? Sure. And of course, you know, people in America will readily say that. Oh, well, they're just going for their own self-interest, and aren't they evil and wicked? And you go, wait a minute, Americans, that's exactly the same thing you do. You don't get involved unless you think there's something to be gained for it, for you in it. So I don't want to hear your little going for the greater good here garbage, because that's nothing. There is no greater good. There is for what's good for the American government and what makes the powerful in America happy. So anyway, so I was looking at that and that whole situation, reading a little bit on both sides, even the voice, even Radio Free Liberty, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, is kind of on the same side. Of course, you know, it's for a democratic Europe, so excuse me. Pardon me. So its whole mindset's gonna be the same way. It isn't gonna fight these stories. In fact, it's gonna bring you more stories about the terrible atrocities. And it's kind of really hard to say. Because people are saying, well, Russia's making these treaties and they're not abiding by ceasefires. And said, yes, they are. They haven't shot yet. But we want them to pull out. And you're going, and they're going, but the Russians don't want to pull out. And they're not ever, you know, even if they say they're going to pull out, they're going to be asking for concessions on their side. You know, we've done this, but we want you guys to make it worth my while to stop doing this. I can see where the Russians are coming from. Can I see where the Americans are coming from? Yes. You know. Now, America's trying to spread its power, and that's, you know, and of course Russia's going to be really paranoid about that. You know, because a powerful United States means a weaker Russia. That's one of the doctrines of the American government is we do what we can to make sure Russia is weak so that we can domineer it. And you go, you know, and Russia's not in favor of that. You know, it hasn't destroyed all of its nukes. It still has nukes pointed at us. It was like the whole thing. This is really interesting because what's also coming up is Russia's really saying things about, hey, Poland, you guys are putting in a defense shield, you know, missile bases and stuff like that in Poland, which used to be under the Soviet influence. And, of course, borders right on Russia. And this is, you know, and the Americans are making really pathetic excuses. The kind of obviously lying tactics, you know, saying, well, we're trying to protect against terrorism. That's what this defense thing is against those evil rogue states. And you know, the closest rogue state to Poland is Iran. And how many tens of thousands of miles away is it? They would have to overshoot all of Russia, pretty big chunks of Russia, most of European Russia, to attack Poland? Why would they want to attack Poland? Doesn't it make more sense to try to attack something close by, like, say, for instance, Georgia? Oh, no, they wouldn't want to do that. Anyway, so, and I'm sorry, the whole defense shield isn't a defense shield against terrorists or something. It's against Russia! It's trying to threaten Russia! Saying that we have military bases and nuclear strike power right next door to Russia, which means, you know, if they wanted to nuke the United States, well, you know, the United States can just say, well, we'll definitely destroy you first because we're already in Poland. We're right next door. We've got bases and we've got missiles here. It isn't to try to stave off. Whoever believes that tripe must be stupid. But no, that's not true. It isn't a question of stupidity. It is a question of, you know, patriotism. Whatever our government says must be true. They love us. They want us to be okay. And you go, no, they're trying to take advantage of everybody. They're trying to take advantage of circumstances. And you go, well, we want them to do that. We hate Russia. And you go, if you piss off Russia, and we are trying our darndest to make Russia really angry so that they'll retaliate against us. Our government wants to instigate some pretty high, heavy-scale wars. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense. The biggest sense is, hey, Russia's far, far away. We're on decent relations with them. Why piss them off? What's the point of that? Well, they're doing atrocities. You go, so what? So do we! We do atrocities all the time! We just invaded Iraq! For what? We trumped up charges! We put the squeeze on the UN! To get them to say terrible things about Iran, which they say terrible things about us, too. But you don't see us doing whatever the UN says. We use that as a justification to walk into Iraq. And every 10 minutes, our policy about why we went into Iraq and why we should stay alters. You know, and I'm just amazed by the fact that the American people are just so perfectly potty with all these changes. Well, we went in because we thought they had weapons of mass destruction, but they didn't, and we maybe even trumped up the evidence to try to make it so that other people going with us, they wouldn't go, so we went in ourselves. Now it's our country, we took it over, it's all our, well, and a little bit Britain's, but not much. Britain's trying to get out of Iraq intelligently. Get the heck out of there. Now it's, well, we need to keep our air bases there because it's a great launching point to trying to quell problems in the region. Now that Saudi Arabia wants us out of their country because, who knows why, because you don't want to be a slave state to Big Mama America. You know, the whore, the beast, our government. I don't mean to say bad things about Americans, the people, but, you know, Americans, the people, let the government do whatever he wants. I think we're more scared of our own government than Russia is. Russia's thumbing its nose in the United States and saying, oh, yeah? You got all you guys in the West? We don't care. we need this oil. This was our oil. We developed the whole infrastructure to get this oil into Russia. And we don't like the fact that all of a sudden you guys just decide to be chummy with one of our old satellite states that we were dependent on. You know, via Ukraine and Georgia was basically the breadbasket of Russia. That's where most of the food was produced. And of the Soviet Union, sorry. And, you know, it's almost like we're trying to cut off their food supply and watch them starve. And yet we have the audacity to say, oh, you're doing atrocities. And you go, what we're doing was an atrocity. We encouraged all this. We encouraged the Georgian government to kind of thumb their nose at Russia, their next-door neighbor, to say that we would protect them. And then we're kind of leaving them out to dry, you know, by saying, well, you know, we're not really going to come in with troops to save you guys. That would be too dangerous. And it's like, but you told us to thumb our noses at the Russians. And it's like, well, stupid little pissant country. You know, I have to understand. It's us and the Russians and the Chinese. That's it. It says, you pick which side you're on. If you want to go with Russia, you know, if you want Russia to take you guys back over and enslave you, that's your business. Anyway, so it was almost like, guy, you know, I don't think we're any better than the Russians are. I don't think the Russians, you know, I'm not saying the Russians are clean and pure either. I'm not saying that they're justified or anything. But what I am saying is that we're not clean and pure either. We may even be worse on this. We may have sold Georgia a bill of goods that we would protect them. We were pushing really hard to bring them into NATO. Why? To thumb our nose at Russia, to say that we've got a NATO member right there, so if they ever chose to invade, it would all of a sudden become incumbent upon us by treaty to go to war with Russia. And you know what? Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to do that except for maybe George Bush and Dick Cheney, or the Bush administration, or the American government as it stands right now. I don't want to do that. I don't see any pressing national need to go and save Georgia. Georgia can save Georgia. Oh, but we have friends there, you know, so? We have friends in Russia, too. Why start a war with them? Our whole job, the whole point of America was we want to trade with everybody. We want to be friends with everybody. I don't care what your political system is particularly. You know, we want to stop the spread of worldwide communism. And it's like, well, what? So worldwide communism died. And most people, you know, say, oh, it was Ronald Reagan killed worldwide communism. You know, no, it didn't. Communism imploded. It died of its own weight. It couldn't sustain what it was trying to do. So it just fell apart. The constituent parts of it, you know, took up their own governments. Of course, we were supportive of that because we wanted to keep the Soviet Union destroyed. So we started giving them lots of aid, and they need a lot of aid. Russia couldn't provide it in the beginning. Now they're getting much better. They're flush with money where we are not. Well, we can print our own money, and everybody still takes it for now, but that may be temporary. Anyway, what it all boils down to is not really this kind of a conflict or things like that, but who can you really believe? Who can you really trust? You know, it's been obvious for a time now to a lot of people, and not just a lot of people that think a certain way, but to a lot of people that both think a certain way and don't think a certain way, that the American media is a lapdog to the American government now. In the past, it used to be its great foil. You know, the great enemy of government largesse was the news media, mostly newspapers back in the days. And, you know, their job was to point out government flaws, things the government shouldn't have done, stuff like that. They still do it a little, but by and large, they're just in lockstep with the government. Don't want to cause problems because they don't want the government to do something to them. There are now many laws in place that can punish a newspaper for printing something that's derogatory to the government. You know, freedom of speech and freedom of the press are interesting things, but if you don't choose to exercise them, they become worthless. Especially since, even though the American government has such a happiness rating. Approval, thank you, Jay. Approval rating. You know, since it's funny that since it has such a low approval rating, why so many people are willing to support what the government's doing in general. I mean, your individual congressman or legislator or president may not make you happy, and you may vocalize that, but and as a group, you may say that you hate the government, but by and large, everybody listens to what the government says. Everybody does what the government tells them to do. I think it's somewhat of a chilling effect. You know, it's one of two things. Either you're weak and you're scared, and you don't want to go up against government for fear the stormtroopers will bust into your house and ruin your life because they can. It's legal now. Or you're so big that you want to court the government. You know, there's a whole lot of money the government gives out. The government buys your love, buys your complacency, your compliance to their will. It can be bought and sold, you know. In the United States, more and more, you know, how little trouble you give to the government is reflected in your tax bill. If you don't make the government happy, they're going to audit you. You know, it's just simply the way it is. And if that's problematic for you, well, then, sorry, I guess it's problematic. So who do you trust? Who do you believe? To believe one's government, I think, is silly. I think it's safer to be in other countries where, even though there's a strain of nationalism, people stopped believing their government years ago. I don't think that's particularly true in the United States. I don't think the United States has gotten to that point where they say, whatever the government does, I don't believe them, I don't trust them, I don't like them, I try to avoid them. I've gotten to that point. I pay off the government and tell them to go away. Or just stay away from them. You know, I pay my taxes, I go hide in my hole, and I think they forget I'm there. The fact that I have a Social Security card makes it so that I can't disappear completely. Tempting though it may be, you know. I talk sometimes about the escaped artist type of stuff. And although that's still a part of me, I don't see it as being very worthwhile or logical. And not very much in keeping in trying to spread the good news of the restored gospel. That Jesus Christ is coming again. I don't think it helps. Whoa. Anyway, so that's still the whole point is who do you believe in? And the whole thing is everybody's biased, everybody's slanted. You're probably never gonna get the real truth from anybody, even from an independent news media. For the simple reason that they're co-opted by strong powers just as readily as anybody else is. Anyway, so there's the answer. There's the question. And that's all I really have to say today, or at least on this particular episode. No solutions offered, nothing like that, because I don't think there is a solution. You're not going to be able to really know the truth. I think God knows the truth, and He can let us know that truth. But is it really necessary? We'll all know it later, after we're dead. So what difference does it make at this juncture? I guess in the real eternal scheme of things, would knowing the truth change your behavior particularly? And in my case, I don't think it really would. You know, I would be still as cynical about government as I always are, you know, because I can't tell what the truth is. I can never tell what the truth is. Even people, seemingly reputable people, would be able to say, this is what I think is true. How do they know? They may be being duped. Things may just be wrong. Who's to say? Anyway, so that's it. That's all I have to say. If you have any comments, write to me, email at autism, AUTISM, at quick.us. And this is episode number 681. Have a... Oops, where's my pointer? There it is. Have a good day.